Could you begin by telling us about the Ryerson Image Center?
Yes, the Ryerson Image Center opened in September 2012. It's at Ryerson University in downtown Toronto, and it's a center focused on photography, the history of photography, press photography. We have the very famous Black Star collection that was gifted to Ryerson in 2005 that tells the history of the 20th century. This was a New York press agency that fed magazines like Life and Fortune and Time and Newsweek. And on the basis of this, we established a center. It's a collecting center, has been for many decades. We have an international research center and a large public exhibition space.
Now tell us about the Human Rights, Human Wrongs Project.
The Human Rights, Human Wrongs Project is curated by guest curator Mark Seeley of London, England. He's the director of Autograph ABP, the Association of Black Photographers. He has a broad range of interests and expertise, and I invited him to Toronto a couple of years ago to look at the enormous vein and strong vein of civil rights movement photographs from America that we have. And he spent a whole summer in our archive, after which he said, "Doina, I'd really like to do a larger exhibition on human rights and human wrongs, and let me take it from 1945 to 1994. That means taking it from the first photographs that came out of Buchenwald all the way to the genocide in Rwanda. But what's so seminal is that those terrible photographs that emerged in 1945 led directly to the writing of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948. So the Universal Declaration is in the middle of our exhibition. In fact, it's in vinyl on the walls of the gallery.
And of course, there is a Canadian connection to that.
There absolutely is. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights was drafted by Professor John Humphrey at McGill University.
If we could just zero in a bit on the Black history component.
Within this large exhibition that covers the second half of the 20th century, and we have two other related shows in the space at the same time, we have a large contingent that does indeed deal with the civil rights movement events. And these are press photos that were, as I mentioned, used in central and important news magazines of the day. So we go into the history of Martin Luther King, the Selma to Montgomery March, the images, for example, of the Birmingham riots that everybody knows, the images with the water cannons being used against the protesters, the images of the dog biting scenes. These are actually photographs that changed sentiment in America, changed public sentiment, and led directly to the declaration of the Civil Rights Act by President Johnson. In the exhibition, you hear Martin Luther King's speech, "I Have a Dream," Robert Kennedy's speech after Martin Luther King is assassinated, and we also have a section of civil rights movement photographs chosen by the president of the university, President Sheldon Levy, who is very taken with this vein of our collection. And then we move on to many photographs of independence movements in Africa in the 60s and how these countries fared later. So we're looking at Kenya, Chad, Congo, South Africa, Mozambique, Rwanda, and we're juxtaposing timelines. The visitors to our gallery can pick up 54 cards as they go through the gallery. On each card there is an image, but on the back are the overlapping timelines. So, for example, we look at South Africa vis-a-vis the civil rights movement. In 1964, for example, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life imprisonment while Martin Luther King got the Nobel Peace Prize. We look at Vietnam reflected against Biafra. We look at the Congo of today reflected against the Congo of King Leopold II or the handover by King Baudouin in 1960. So that's how the exhibition is structured.
Is it open to the public, and when?
Yes, we are open to the public. We are free. We're open Tuesday to Sunday. This was something that was very important to us, that this be a gallery that's integrated both academically across the university, but that's also free and open to the general public. And we actually have a viewership that's both local and international. We find that a lot of folks who are visiting Toronto come to our gallery.
For people who can't come, can they access parts of the exhibition online?
There are extensive descriptions online and information about our public events. We do have some copyright issues, so we at the moment don't have the entire exhibition online, but with time we will have our entire database online, which means that people will be able to access our images, but we're still working on that. I would like to add that we have two parallel exhibitions to this one. One is by Alfredo Jarre, who I would say is probably the world's most significant artist working with issues of human rights. And the exhibition that we have by him focuses on the Rwandan genocide of 1994. And this is a piece he made 2 years ago with three sections. One is "We Wish to Inform You That We Didn't Know," which is a three-channel video piece based on a speech by Bill Clinton in Rwanda after the genocide, and two other very important pieces. One is "Searching for Africa in Life," which shows you all the front covers of Life magazine and what there is about Africa, and there's not much. There are cliches or nothing. And another piece, "From Time to Time," which has the front covers of Time magazine dealing with Africa. And again, one is quite disappointed because it's either animals or starving children. So these two exhibitions relate to one another and make us think more about what is the humanitarian purpose of these photographs, how do these exhibitions link, and why don't we see more of the positive stories that there are.
Thank you so much for this.
You're very welcome.